Russ and I recently started using Via Hemp products, and let me tell you how much of a game changer they are. So I have such a hard time with sleep. I wake up so many times throughout the night. When I wake up, it takes me forever to fall back to sleep, especially on the nights that I have work in the morning. So an hour before bed, I pop a Flow State, which is one of Via's CBD gummies. And I literally just drift off to sleep and I do not wake up. If I wake up, I fall right back to sleep. Russ really loves Via Hemp edibles as well because he suffers from a lot of nerve pain, especially since his accident. He'll pop a gummy, his have THC in them, and he sleeps through the night and the nerve pain doesn't wake him up. When I tell you that this sponsor of ours sent us an amazing sample pack with tons of gummies, we are so happy with them. They taste amazing and they have literally a product for everything, for relaxation. They have one called Cloud Nine that makes you feel really good. If you want to spice it up in the bedroom, they literally have a gummy for everything. So if you are 21 and up, you can get 15% off and a free pack of gummies with our exclusive code WIFEOFCRIME1 at viahemp.com. That's VIIAHEMP.com. And our code is WIFEOFCRIME1.
This podcast is an unscripted, unedited conversation about true crime. We take the cases very seriously, but I don't take myself seriously at all, and neither should you. Welcome to Wife of Crime.
So, Russ, it is Valentine's week. Happy Valentine's Day. Well, just like every year, I have another story for you about toxic love. They say love makes you do crazy things. And in the case I'm telling you today, a man, he would do anything for the woman he loved, even kill. This is the case of Bianca Edmonds and Glenn Cassidy. Everyone, welcome back to Wife of Crime, a true crime podcast where I tell my husband Russ true crime stories and he reacts to them.
What's up, folks? It's your boy Russ, aka Biggie's dad.
Oh, Biggie.
So most everyone pretty much knows Biggie. If you don't know Biggie, you probably don't listen to this show.
He's like a mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Biggie is my best friend, mm-hmm. and he's been a little sick lately, but he's doing good now.
Yeah, we found out that Biggie had a tumor on his spleen, and it was a really tough day when we found this out, and our actual vet tried to convince us to put him down. And me and Russ were like, no, he's so happy.
He's fine. I'll put you down, bitch.
Yeah.
Because he was chilling.
Yeah, he was good.
Chips,
he wasn't in pain.
Wagging his tail.
Yeah, and so we both were like, no. But the problem was the tumor could rupture at any moment. So we had to find a place that would do emergency surgery on him. And as you guys know, he's a little bit of an older guy. So it took us a few days to find someone, but we did. And the surgery happened yesterday, and it went really, really well. And it all got taken out. And we are so thankful for the vet that did do the surgery. And right now he's over in the living room recovering.
Yeah, he got a nice big steak waiting for him. Yes. One of you guys sent us some money to get him a steak.
Heather, shout out to Heather for that.
Yeah, so he got big ass steak and obviously I got it from the co.
Obviously.
Because I had to get four of them. I couldn't let Biggie get a steak and not Lucy because that's messed up.
Yeah.
And then two are for me. Yeah. The other two.
What about one for me? Do I get one? Just you, Biggie, and Lucy. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to, you know, I don't know how many points that is on your Weight Watchers. I've been abandoned that shit.
Yeah, you did. Well, we just want to tell you guys what was going on, update you, and let you know that Biggie is doing good. And he's thriving. He's on a lot of pain meds right now, so he's a little loopy, but he's doing really well. And if you guys follow us on our Patreon or our personal socials, then you guys saw what was going on. But thank you for all the messages and love. Biggie's doing great, and he's still here.
Hashtag vote for Biggie.
Vote for Biggie. So on the Patreon this month, we covered the documentary Killer Sally, because as if you've been listening to the show for a while now, you know that February, we always celebrate Valentine's Day by talking about toxic love. And Killer Sally is what we covered on the Patreon, and we named the episode Banana Hammocks.
But you named it Banana Hammocks, but I called it Ding-a-ling Hammock.
Well, you called it a Ding-a-ling Hammock, and then I called it a Banana Hammock, and then we both called it both. Then we both said Ding-a-ling and Banana Hammock.
I don't like when men wear them shiny drawers outside.
No.
Speedo should be illegal. There should be like just an area where you could wear it. So like if you want to see shiny
Banana Hammocks.
Yeah, it's gross.
Well, that episode is up and live, so definitely go check it out. And Russ is going to do the patron shout-outs for all the new Patreon people.
All right, so you guys know we got the Patreon. A lot of people say they run out of episodes because they binged us, which is pretty dope.
Yeah,
I can't listen to myself that long. Or Jess. I would mute her, but I can't mute her. So we got a bunch of extra episodes over there if you run out here. And then you get like cups and shit. What else?
a magnet.
The refrigerator button.
Yeah.
And these are the people that joined this week. Megan, Mandy, Stacy, April, Yo Mama. What's up, Mom? Heather, Jade. We got two names. Erin, Aubrey, Donna, Lanny, Brittany, Debbie, Aurelia, I think. Jordan, Ashley, Emma, Robin.
Yeah.
I really struggled through that.
You did.
That's embarrassing.
You had a hard time.
And I, for some reason.
And they weren't hard names.
I got out of breath. I don't know why.
Thank you guys so much for joining. We really appreciate it.
I'll cheers the beers to you. Cheers, but I have one open, so.
Cheers to you guys.
Thank you. It's very motivating that you guys keep joining. It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
And if you guys keep joining, I'll quit my job, I promise. Give me one motherfucking reason to quit that bitch. So, as you guys know, I do it every week. I started reading Review of the Week. And some of you are clever enough to get your review read. So here is the one. This is from an Aquarius, 1998. I was told not to listen to the pod. Mm. 5 stars. Hey, guys. Love you both. My sister told me not to listen to the pod. She thought Russ was Looney Tunes. But I listened anyway and was dead with like a emoji laughing face. I told her to give Russ another shot, and she now is obsessed. She quotes him through the day, a.k.a. the best pod 100. Jess ages like wine, and Russ is better than blue cheese.
That's really funny.
I guess she loves blue cheese. Oh, wait, because blue cheese is like a little moldy?
Yeah, blue cheese is old cheese. Moldy cheese.
Yo mama.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. So by the time this episode comes out, it will have been Valentine's Day.
If you still celebrate Valentine's Day, you a corn, bro.
A lot of people celebrate it, Russ.
A lot of corns. All of you listening. Like, the restaurants are overpacked.
Yes.
You gotta, like, I guess you gotta do it in the beginning because girls want to take Instagram pictures and shit. But, like, if you've been in a relationship, like, I don't know, we go out to eat. Why is going out to eat on that day more important than the going out to eat we did on Saturday?
Yeah, I get it. We don't really celebrate Valentine's Day in this house.
Well, you got this treat all the time. Hey, whatever happened to Cupid? Nobody sees Cupid no more.
Cupid?
Like the little dude with the arrows that shoot you
I feel like he's still around.
In the butt, and then whoever you see, the first person you see after getting shot with the arrow, you love them?
Yeah, I feel like he's still around. I still see Cupid stuff in the Valentine's Day aisles. I mean, you don't really frequent Valentine's Day aisles because I don't we don't get each other presents for Valentine's
Day. I also hate cards.
Yeah, he's not a card guy.
Just like, oh, I want to get, like, she wants to get me a card. I'm like, don't get me a card. It's just someone else's words and you give it to me. It's kind of like when Biggie rapped and Puff Daddy be like, uh-huh, yeah, I like that. Like, that's what you're doing. You're like, you're ad-libbing, like, uh-huh, take that. Like, you didn't even make that up.
Yeah, we don't do cards. We don't do Valentine's Day. Well, I feel like your birthday is a very important holiday. That's the day you were born. That's probably the most important holiday of the year.
Jehovah's Witness don't like birthdays.
Well, everybody else, that's the most important holiday.
They probably don't want to be older. That's why. It's very clever, I guess.
Maybe. And then Christmas is my other favorite holiday. But other than that, I feel like some of the other holidays that we celebrate throughout the year are dumb. Like, no. I do find Valentine's Day dumb.
Thanksgiving's the best one.
I know. You love Thanksgiving.
Because you don't got to buy presents.
I'm not a huge fan of Thanksgiving, to be honest. I worked for years and years during Thanksgiving Eve because we were bartenders for so long. And Thanksgiving Eve is a huge money night. So by the time Thanksgiving rolled around, I was always kind of like tired and out of it and didn't feel like doing anything on Thanksgiving.
When I was allowed to do whatever I want, aka when I was single, my Thanksgiving tradition was to always get some Chinese food.
Yeah.
I like Chinese food on Thanksgiving. It's a good tradition.
Well, that's good for you.
But you know, now a lot of Chinese food stores are closed on Thanksgiving because it's probably like second generation Chinese families. The younger people took over when their parents retired, and they're probably celebrating all of our holidays over here.
Yeah. No, that's true. Well, it's the week of love, and, you know, we don't necessarily celebrate Valentine's Day in this house, but over the past few years, we've made it our tradition to celebrate it by talking about toxic love on the podcast. I was curious, where did Valentine's Day actually stem from? Where did it actually come from?
Wasn't there like a St. Valentine's Day massacre or something like that?
No, I'm looking for like the origin of it. So you can Google it and it gives different theories. Some are nice and sweet, but I need to find out how it all started. So I look deeper. And this is the history of the Day of Love. Are you ready? A holiday celebrated by ancient Romans called Lupercalia was actually a ceremony held on February 15th to honor Lupercus, the god of fertility. But he was the god of fertility over livestock, not people.
Oh, so they could have food.
So, as the ceremony goes, people would gather at the cave where Romulus and Remus were raised by the she-wolf. And at this cave, they would engage in a day of animal sacrifices. They would sacrifice dogs, rabbits, goats.
This is the most backward shit I ever heard.
And then after killing the animals, two men would step up and rub blood from the animals all over their heads. And then they were instructed to laugh hysterically, which no one knew why. They were just instructed to do that. So after this part of the ceremony, everyone would eat a ton of food and get really drunk. And then the men, all the men in the place, would strip naked and cover themselves with the carcasses of the dead animals, hoping to look like Lupercus. And then they would cut pieces of skin off the dead animals and they'd walk around and start hitting everyone with it. As Russ says, the men would start running around giving everyone the wong bong.
Getting wong bong right in the head.
They would, with pieces of the skin from the dead animals that they just murdered. So this celebration went on until about the 5th century, like the year 400. And like many of the holidays we celebrate today, it became Christianized by the Roman Church. Pope Iglesias I decided to rename the
holiday. Julio Iglesias I?
No, Pope Iglesias I decided to rename the holiday St. Valentine's Day and have it fall on the 14th of February, the day before Lupercalia, to honor St. Valentine. So Pope Iglesias was well known for his hatred toward pagans and pagan beliefs, and he wanted to eradicate all of them and turn them, you know, like a lot of Christian leaders did at the time, they would turn these pagan holidays, appropriate them, and transition them into the Christian holidays to make it easier for people to like acclimate to and convert to Christianity.
So did they steal Santa Claus and put Jesus there? Or was Jesus first?
So Jesus, well, I'm not going to go into the whole history of Christmas because that's too long, but it's from Yule, which is the...
The Yuletide carry.
Well, Yule is the pagan winter celebration, the celebration of Yule, and they have like big feasts. So Christians took Yule and put Christmas at that time, even though Jesus was actually born in the spring, they put Christmas at that time so that the pagans of the time would have their Yule feast and do it at Christmas, and then they could transition to a Christmas holiday.
Wow. They'd be like, hey, important day for you? Psych. Well, gotta go to church.
That's what happened when religion took over.
Shit was crazy before science, though. Like, they're over there, just they didn't know how like fertility worked, so they start slapping each other with like animal skin, and you want these animals to breed more animals because you need more animals, but you're killing them.
No, the livestock is what they wanted to make more animals. So they took like dogs and goats and fertile animals, and they sacrificed them with hopes that their livestock would have a good season.
Man, before science, shit was weird.
So yeah, they would cover themselves in the carcasses and the blood of these animals. It was very barbaric. So for all the single people feeling lonely this week, just keep in mind that this holiday being celebrated originated from the brutal murder of animals and people rubbing blood and carcasses all over themselves and whacking each other with dead animal skin. How romantic.
I just don't get where people came up with these ideas. Like, who's the original person? Like, I got an idea. If we kill some shit over here, we'll get what we want. Nobody said, hit him with a wong bong. Shut your dumb ass up.
I don't know. The celebration of love is, like, kind of interesting because love is the same, yet so different for all of us.
But it's also a secondary emotion.
It is. So because love is the same, yet so different for all of us, it's hard to put into words what you feel when you're in love. So science tells us we have an actual, like, physiological response when we're in love. Things that we can't necessarily control in our body, like hormone imbalances, dopamine releases. But what you do with the love you have is what really matters in the end. They say love makes you do crazy things. And in the case I'm telling you today, one man would do anything for the woman he loved.
Damn, this episode's about to be called Sucker for Love.
Even kill.
Don't be a sucker for love, chumps.
This is the case of Bianca Edmonds and Glenn Cassidy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In 2012, in West Meadows, Australia, we're going down under. Hello, all of our Aussie peeps.
Yo, just watch some good-ass UFC fights in Australia. Those Australian fans?
Mm-hmm.
They are crazy. They had such a good time. They were the loudest. But no one got it on New York fans because we'll start chants about your mama. Literally. we'll make fun of your hairline in sync and like...
Yes. New York fans are brutal, for sure. In 2012, in West Meadows, Australia, a young woman named Bianca Edmonds met a man named Michael Capossiena. The two quickly fell in love and were actually engaged within the year. By the next year, 2013, Bianca became pregnant and then welcomed their son into the world. From the outside, it looked like a whirlwind romance. But behind closed doors, things were not actually okay. The two began fighting all the time, and it seemed as if their entire relationship was rushed way too fast before they could actually get to know each other. By 2014, the couple separated, and they began a brutal custody battle. Michael wanted partial custody of his son, but Bianca was not having it.
I hate when I hear like people using basically children as like pawns. Weapons or, you know, like, you're hurting your child, like... So you're not even helping anything except using your child to hurt someone else.
At this point, Michael was only allowed to see their son once a week, and it had to be a supervised visit, which sounds incredibly unfair, especially since he seemed, by all accounts, like a good guy and a good father. But just like most custody battles, this one got really ugly. There was a lot of anger, resentment building up between them. And by 2015, Bianca and Michael truly hated one another. Not long after separating from Michael, Bianca met a man on Tinder named Glenn Cassidy. Glenn was 49 years old at the time, which was 13 years older than Bianca.
No relation to Butch?
No. He was nice, a simple guy from Shepparton, Australia. He operated heavy machinery on construction jobs, and he was a very hard worker and an expert machinist. But Glenn, however, was not formally educated, and he could not read and write very well at all. He was almost completely illiterate.
And that's not even the person's fault that can't read. That's always the parents' fault, really.
No, yeah.
Unless, like, they were born with some real problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was, like I said, he was a hard worker, and he was a really good machinist, and he worked on these construction jobs operating this heavy machinery.
Not knowing how to read got to be crazy, though, because how do you even, like, when you go to the store, know which chips or what?
So he could read...
By the color of the bag?
He could read and write... But simple things. He didn't know how to spell words properly, and he didn't know how to use any type of grammar or anything like that.
Oh, he would have thrived with autocorrect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this wasn't that long ago, so he definitely had autocorrect.
Wait, how long ago was this?
This was 2015. He was a nice man, but he was definitely quite gullible. So when Bianca Edmonds came into his life, he was happy that a young, attractive woman was giving him the attention he craved. But he was also totally blinded by this love. The couple moved very fast, and within a year of meeting, the two moved in together and got engaged. A lot of Glenn's friends warned him about her, saying they had a bad feeling about this girl. But Glenn wasn't hearing it. He was head over heels in love.
Sucker for love.
Meanwhile, Bianca and Michael are still in a brutal custody battle over their son. Michael had moved about 100 miles away to Melbourne, and he too met another woman. Her name was Silvana, and he was in a new relationship as well. Bianca and Michael constantly fighting over their son naturally caused tons of tension and anger to build up in their new relationships. Silvana always took Michael's side, but she was so tired of all of it. And because of the accusations Bianca made against Michael, Glenn hated Michael. He hated that Bianca was still fighting with him, hated even hearing his name. He hated the fact that he was any part of their lives. Over the course of the next few months, a real feud began building between the two men. And Bianca's grand plan started slowly unfolding. Because, see, Bianca is a very clever manipulator.
She knew it. You get you one of them dudes that was in special ed as a kid, they're strong as fuck. You ever see how far they could throw a table or a chair across the room? You don't fuck with them kids.
Well, she was a clever manipulator, and this was what she wanted all along. She was going to use Glenn to get rid of Michael.
Glenn is strong, I already know.
And secure her name as the Australian Black Widow. According to multiple sources close to Glenn, Bianca would often call Glenn spineless and weak in front of his friends. She would say he isn't a real man. He has no balls because he lets Michael do this to them and isn't willing to protect his family.
What a piece of shit.
Bianca was also sexually manipulative. She would hold back sex if he didn't agree to do what she asked.
I heard a lot of stories of women doing stuff like that. Women use sex as a weapon. This isn't abnormal here.
Well, she would have sex with him and then stop before he finished every single time. And she told him this wouldn't change unless he completed a mission for her. The mission? Kill her ex, Michael.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, she would stop every single time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a joke there. I just can't think of it. I was just a little shocked.
So on March 12th, 2016, 000, which, fun fact, is Australia's version of 911, received a frantic phone call.
That's easier to dial if you think about it.
It is, yeah. Received a frantic phone call from a woman in Melbourne. The woman said that a man showed up to the couple's home with a sawed-off shotgun, and her boyfriend Michael, armed with a knife, answered the door. The two men started fighting, but suddenly the man with the gun held it up and shot Michael in the face.
Well, the man did it.
The man then came after her, but didn't realize that before Michael died, he had stabbed him with a fatal stab wound to the abdomen. As he attacked her, the man began getting weaker and weaker until he too collapsed and died. The intruder was Glenn Cassidy.
Know it.
He had completed the mission Bianca set for him, but ended up losing his life in the process. Originally, Silvana was arrested and questioned for the murder of the two men. But once, which is crazy to me, once she gave authorities all the details about the feud between the couples and the year-long brutal custody battle, Silvana was released. But that's crazy that she was arrested, in my opinion. Authorities would begin an investigation into this crime that would end up going on for years. They would uncover a lot of circumstantial damning evidence against Bianca. Now, before I go into all the evidence that the authorities found, I will say it is unclear if Bianca sought out Glenn for the sole purpose of killing Michael, or if she was being opportunistic after meeting him and her plan kind of evolved over time.
I think that one. I think any man she was with, she wouldn't have been with like a real soft dude just because potentially she could use that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like she just figured Glenn can do it because he's strong. He works in construction.
Well, he had a gun. He didn't, like, fight the guy. I mean, they did fight, but he didn't do it by killing him with his bare hands. He used a shotgun. And she
got rid of them both.
So throughout the long custody battle, she started becoming very afraid that Michael was going to gain full custody of her son. So this seems to be the motivating factor behind wanting to get rid of him. It is clear that pretty much from the beginning, Bianca recognized that Glenn Cassidy was naive and gullible. She methodically planted a seed of hatred in Glenn toward Michael. She manipulated Glenn by saying he needs to save their family from Michael, who's trying to tear them apart. Within a few months of this, Glenn began to see it as his mission. He loved Bianca, and he wanted to live happily ever after with her.
He lusted Bianca. He didn't love her. He loved her. He didn't like being with her. He probably was an insecure dude that had... I don't know if she's pretty or not, but a so-called pretty girl. You know, there's a lot of dudes out there that if a pretty girl gives them a chance, they just turn to a sucker.
Well, he was also significantly older. He was like 13 years older than her. He was 49 and she's in her 30s. And, you know, I'm sure it made him feel good. He would do anything for the woman he loved.
Obviously.
So the two began to hatch a plan. Together.
Wait, I'm confused now. Glenn?
Yes.
But Glenn's dead.
No, I'm talking about before he died, the plan.
Oh, okay. All right. Now it's like, yeah, like when you're watching a show and they say 3 hours later, .. But
well,
it's like
this is
time.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bianca told him she couldn't be involved in the murder because she would be the prime suspect immediately. They were in a brutal custody battle. So she was... definitely the one with the motive. Therefore, the two of them agreed that Glenn would have to do this alone. The plan was simple. They need to get a gun. Glenn would show up to Michael's house, knock on the door, and when he opens it, he would shoot him. Bianca and Glenn surveilled the neighborhood. They drew maps, including specific details about all the houses in the area, the neighbors around Michael's house. Which homes had dogs? Which homes had security cameras? Motion sensor lights? Their map had a lot of details. The couple had been planning this for a long time, and police knew this because they found a note in Glenn's phone that was made on December 25th, 2015, 3 months before the crime. In the note, it was a list of everything that needed to be done before he murders Michael.
So he could read.
Yes, I told you that. He can read and write. It's just he can't use good grammar. Like, he's not good at it.
Me neither.
The note was titled Obstacles. Under it was a list that said one bullet, getting him alone, body transport.
I wonder how he spelled obstacles.
Another list is titled Things I Want to Do Before the Job. And under this one, it said financial for Bianca and kids, have a baby or at least be pregnant, get married, have as much sex as possible. That was on his list. The poor guy was, I mean, he's an asshole for killing someone, but the poor guy was very neglected in the sex department.
This guy was walking around with blue balls. His balls was hurt, and he was all frustrated.
Yeah.
Damn, son, you just gotta take care of it yourself.
The two of them originally planned the murder to happen the first week of March 2016 because Bianca would be out of town at her mother's house, which gave her a solid alibi. But this didn't work out because Michael ended up going out of town as well. So the entire weekend, Glenn sat in his car outside of the home of Michael and Silvana, waiting for them to come home.
Patient ass.
For reasons no one knows, Glenn had installed an app on his phone and recorded all the phone calls between him and Bianca during this weekend. In the recordings,
in case shit fucked up and she flipped on him.
Well, in the recordings, you hear them refer to the murder as the job. You also hear how cold Bianca is towards him.
When she goes, oh, that's sweet. I said, it's the truth. And it is. When I'm away from you, I hurt. No one showed up.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Saturday night, maybe everyone had a different change of plans and they'll be home later.
Yeah, that's why I'm hanging around to later. I'll hang around to about.
After dark, usually people head home.
Yeah. What's dark now?
Yeah.
I'll hang around to about 11, 12 o'clock, and if no one showed up by then, I'm just going to call it quits for the night.
Yeah, get your sleep. Play some sport tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
Hello.
I bet you look beautiful.
Yeah.
I hope there's someone there.
Well, it's Sunday. They probably went away.
Friggin' annoying, but I feel like a waste time.
Yeah, well.
But you gotta do what you gotta do.
I know. I hope you do. I want to celebrate. I bought you a present.
I want to celebrate too. Friggin' trust me. But, yeah. Cross my fingers and I'll try my hardest, you know that. So there's no work obligations down here. Shift up.
Just don't get all funny after the job.
No.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself.
No.
I mean, I know it's a pretty mental job that you're doing, but physically and mentally and all that, don't hurt yourself.
No, it's good. I'm actually going to take the car tonight.
Starting to hurt ya?
No, the people are starting to look at it too much.
Mm.
Even another bike followed me around for a while.
Mm.
I don't know who he was. But,
yeah. Do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Fresh you makes a calm me. I know, but I had weird feelings last night. Like, I felt anxious knowing that you haven't been sleeping too.
This last night did not feel right from the start, so probably lucky.
Oh, well, I'll just get it done then. That way we don't
have to
worry about it.
I am completely over this job.
Well, just finish it.
I'm trying.
And then concentrate on the next, you know, finish this job and move on. Let the future be better.
Yeah.
We need less stress in our life, and I'm not looking forward to having to go to legal aid and get it all.
Yeah, we still have to do all that.
I know, but I'm sick of, you know, I don't want to have to, the rest of my life is going to be like that.
Yeah, no worries. And can we have sex tomorrow night?
I don't know, it depends if we're celebrating or not.
Oh, I love you.
Enjoy your job.
Yeah, I love you.
Concentrate.
I love you.
Concentrate, don't stuff up, pay attention.
Yeah, I will. I love you.
I know.
Did everything go great?
I'm really disappointed. I was hoping you got work.
Yeah, me too. I'm sorry.
I know. Alright, I'll talk to you later on.
Okay. Love you,
buddy. Alright, drive carefully, please.
I will. I love you.
I love you, please.
Can we have sex tomorrow night? Mm-hmm. This man had to make an appointment.
Yeah, like when you're listening to that, it's just crazy how, first of all, the first thing that struck
this guy's a sucker.
Yeah. The first thing that struck me was how casually they're just talking about it. They're referring to it as like a job or you can't get work. And it's just crazy how casually they're talking about it.
Some people do anything just to have sex.
Well, she was so cold towards him.
And he said, I love you, like 1,000 times. He's begging for like her approval and
her love back. And she won't say it.
In the last phone call, she's like, I love you.
Yeah. It's really crazy. And it just kind of shows how much of a manipulating, cold bitch this lady is. So Bianca seems.
Hopefully she gets what's coming to her. Hopefully there's some, something bad happens to her. It sucks for the kid, though. Mm-hmm. Hopefully if something happens to her, there's some good grandmas and stuff.
Yeah, somewhere good for the kid to go.
So maybe I don't want nothing to happen to her. Wait till the kid moves out.
No, she deserves to have something happen to her.
Yeah, but now
she's a terrible human being.
Yeah, but I was talking about like when the kid grows up, then maybe she get hit by a Mack truck.
Oh, okay. There was no evidence at all that Bianca felt any hesitancy about carrying out this plan. Like you could tell in her voice, she was like, get it done, get it done, get it done. So that weekend, it didn't work out. Michael was out of town, and thank God for that. He literally dodged a bullet by being out of town.
Yeah, but obviously it's coming.
Well, yeah. But Glenn called it quits. He went back home, and the two came up with another date to carry it out. March 12th, 2016. So on the morning of March 12th, Bianca sent a message to herself from Glenn's phone in order to secure her alibi, because this time she wasn't out of town at her mom's house. And she wanted to make it seem like she had nothing to do with this crime. The message she sent to herself said, quote, Bianca, I love you so much. You have no idea. I'm about to do something that you would consider absolutely fucking stupid, but I can't put up with this shit anymore. I can't be a part-time parent to Luca. If I get caught, I want them to know you had nothing at all to do with this. It's my choice, my decision, and know nothing about it. Please, I can see the stress of you losing our first baby. So then Bianca responded to this message that she sent herself from Glenn's phone and said, don't be so bloody stupid, Glenn. You married me knowing Luca will be seeing him, though it's upsetting us all here. Don't you dare try and manipulate me into feeling sorry for you by saying such idiotic things. I will not tolerate being yelled at. Enjoy your drive. Take your fucking time. I'm over it. Glenn, enough. Come home.
Don't be so bloody stupid.
So Glenn then drove to Michael's neighborhood, walked around his house to make sure he was home. He went back to his car, grabbed the shotgun, and then knocked on Michael's door. Luckily, Silvana saw that it was Glenn through the window, and that's what made Michael go and grab the knife. He went to the kitchen and grabbed a knife before opening the front door. He'd grown very suspicious of Glenn and Bianca over the last few months, and he told Silvana he was afraid that something was going to happen to him. So after answering the door and speaking for a few moments, Glenn reached out and wanted to give Michael a handshake. When Michael took Glenn's hand for the handshake, Glenn forced his way into the house, and the two men began fighting. That's when Michael stabbed him in the abdomen. And immediately after he got stabbed, Glenn shot Michael in the face.
It's interesting that Michael had a knife on him.
Well, I just told you, because Silvana said it was Glenn at the door. So he grabbed a knife.
Yeah, so he went and grabbed it. That's interesting. Like he knew. But he knew she was a manipulative bitch.
Yeah.
But it takes two to fight.
It does.
But she's obviously like a really bad person.
But this is sad because Michael really just wanted to see his kid. Like, that's what it all came down to, is he just wanted to see his kid and be in his kid's life.
Yeah, and then she's probably over there telling the kid, like, your dad's bad and shit like that.
So remember how I told you in the beginning that Silvana was initially arrested and suspected for the murder of the two men?
Yeah.
Well, she was let go that night. But Bianca, she wasn't even looked at all for months and months. She got away with it. She even collected $300,000 from Michael's life insurance policy that had been left to her son.
Wow.
So it seems as if Bianca got away with murder.
Nah, otherwise she wouldn't be on this podcast.
But about 11 months after the crime, a local media outlet reported on the murder again and asked if anyone in the public had any information. And Glenn Cassidy's friends came forward.
See, he was recording these conversations. He definitely was saying stuff.
So they told police that they believed Bianca was behind this. They said they had heard her say that he was a spineless prick on multiple occasions and that he should, quote, take care of it if he's a real man. Glenn's friends also told police about how she would use sex to manipulate him. So cops brought her in for questioning. Unfortunately, after hours of questioning and no real way to connect her, they had to let her go. Months and months pass, and Bianca continued living it up on that 300 grand that she got from Michael's estate. Everyone slowly forgot about the deaths of Michael and Glenn, and the media stopped talking about it.
She was eating the finest kangaroo burgers over there.
Bianca met a new man on Tinder only 2 weeks after Glenn died. And within a few months, the two moved in together.
Oof.
This man was an ex-con who was just released from prison. He served time for attempted murder because he slit his ex-wife's throat.
What, he's going to kill her?
No.
I'm like, this story's about to go crazy.
That would have been a really crazy ending.
You should have just made it up and let someone try to wrong you on the internet and be like, obviously I knew that, dummy.
Yeah, that would have been a crazy ending, but no, that's not how this ends. It would have been like
poetic.
So after living together for almost a year, the man saw on the news about the deaths of Michael and Glenn and questioned Bianca, asking if she was involved. And Bianca confessed everything to him. The two of them broke up, and after Bianca moved out of his house, the man went straight to the police.
Yo, see, as a con, or...
Well, ex-con.
An ex-con, you know the code, bro. There's no snitching.
You're a rat.
Big Ange, I've been watching some... So there's a Big Ange page on Instagram. I've been watching a little recently.
I know. I love Big Ange. R.I.P.
You're a rat.
So he was definitely a rat. And by now, it's been 2 years. It's April 2018. And police bring Bianca in for questioning again. After the interview, though, cops still could not find a definitive way to connect her to the crime. So she was released again.
Yeah, but now she's really on the radar.
Yes, and this caused a reignition in the case. The investigators in charge of the case knew she was the mastermind, and they just needed to find a way to prove it. So they combed through the evidence again, and this is when they found the recorded phone calls from the app that Glenn had downloaded on his phone.
See, Glenn was dumb, but he wasn't all the way dumb.
No, he wasn't.
He was like smart. There's a lot of people that are smart but not traditionally educated, and there's a giant difference in that. I'm not talking street smart, but people that could just catch on and be intuitive,
mm-hmm,
in natural life situations. And they don't teach you that in school. They also don't teach you how to do taxes or have your credit. That's
a shame.
That's like, you're behind the eight ball. Hey, if anybody here has kids, make sure you teach them about credit. That's number one.
Definitely. And taxes and writing a resume.
But can't no one teach anyone about taxes, because no one knows nothing about taxes in America.
That's true.
It's like, hey, guess how much you owe us. And if you don't know how much, we're sending you to jail and taking all your shit.
Yeah, that's true. Just go to a good tax guy.
Yeah.
So they got the app and heard the phone calls that Glenn had recorded. And finally, in June 2019, Bianca was arrested and charged with murder.
Booker Dano.
Her trials, yes, trials, plural.
That means that
were very messy.
Those mistrials, probably. Right?
Yes. So,
how about that?
In June 2022, just last June, the case was ruled a mistrial because the jury could not reach a unanimous verdict. Her second trial in August of 2022 was also dismissed because of a technicality that happened during the closing arguments.
Sounds like she is a good lawyer.
Yeah, it does sound like that. Her third trial happened in December, just 2 months ago.
Sounds like public defenders in Australia probably have like tapered pants and haircuts and stuff.
I don't know if he's a public defender.
I don't know why in New York they all have like fucking boot cut pants and they're all disheveled.
I don't know. Well, her third trial happened in December, just a couple of months ago. The prosecution brought forth many witnesses, including Bianca's own mother, who said Bianca had said on numerous occasions that she wanted to make Michael, quote, disappear. And her mother also said days after the crime, Bianca confessed to her. Glenn's friends also testified against her in court, talking about all the things she would say to him. One of Glenn's friends said that Bianca actually came to him and asked if he would be willing to, quote, take care of her ex. And he responded to her by telling her to, quote, fuck off.
How do you say that in Australian? Fuck off.
Did you say mate? Maybe, mate. Yeah, maybe.
Hey, we got a lot of Australian peeps.
We do. We have a lot of listeners.
Yo, Australia sounds so good. You know why?
Their accent? You love their accent?
Yeah, but it's fucking freezing here, and they're over there sweating their balls off.
Oh, they are.
Having shrimp on the barbie.
Because it's summertime over there right
now. I fucking hate shrimp, but I would still eat one for some warm.
So this same guy also said that while he was at the couple's home one day, Bianca came home with a sawed-off shotgun wrapped in cloth that she said she just bought for $100 in Melbourne earlier that day. Bianca pleaded not guilty, and her lawyer argued that Glenn acted all on his own accord and that she had no idea he was planning any of this. But finally, in December 2022, Bianca Edmonds was convicted for the murder of Michael Caposiena. She has not been sentenced yet. Australia does not have the death penalty, so she will be serving 25 years to life, and her sentencing will probably happen within the next few months.
So I have something interesting to talk about. Do we think she deserves as much time as the person that physically committed the crime?
Yes, I do. Do you?
No.
Why?
Because he was a dumbass that actually did it.
Yes, but
she deserves a penalty, and she's a bad person, and the earth's better if she's not in the earth or on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more of the sticks and stones generation where, like, that's just words. Like, she definitely deserves a penalty, but I don't know. And someone might give me a 1-star review. But you know what? I'm glad you're gone. So, but yeah, I don't know. If you didn't physically kill someone, you're not a killer.
No, but she knew. She knowingly manipulated someone who she knew was naive and gullible enough to listen to her. And she was the mastermind behind all of it. So I think she should get just as much time as if she murdered Michael. Because it's because of her that Michael is dead.
It is because of her. That's true. Because Glenn would have never killed him. But Glenn would have did anything for some sex.
Anything. Yeah. And she knew it.
He just should have got some hookers.
He should have.
Like, just.
But he was in love.
He wasn't.
You don't think he was in love with her?
No, he was in love.
He said he loved her like 7 times.
Did you see the picture? No, he wanted a pretty girl to love him.
You don't think he was in love with her at all?
It could have been any girl.
Aww.
Yeah, we all got these friends that could, like, just fall in love fast.
Listen, I don't. Part of me feels a little bad for Glenn, although I don't want to feel bad for him because he murdered someone. Like, he still murdered somebody. So he's bad for that. I don't know if he was a bad guy in general, because he did have a lot of friends, and his friends all speak highly of him. But
you could tell he was a good character dude, but he was a sucker for love.
Yeah.
Everyone has these dudes that are sucker for loves. We all know it, fellas. There's some fellas that listening. And don't be that guy. Your friend gets a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And now he starts doing dumb shit. He might be wearing the same sneakers as her. I don't even know what else. It's just like he's not himself no more. He don't hang out no more.
Yeah.
He can't go to a game with you to because...
Because he's whipped.
Yeah.
It's like he's pussy whipped. That's what we used to say.
There's a
people
lot of...
still say that nowadays?
Yeah, probably. There's a lot of girls out there, man. You don't gotta get one like that. Unless you have low self-esteem, that's the problem.
Well, that's usually the problem. And I'm sure Glenn did have low self-esteem.
You gotta be like Remy Ma. You gotta be like, I look too good for this shit.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Conceited. The Conceited. Song Conceited. Yo, by Remy Ma.
Do yourself a favor. If you're not feeling good, go listen to Remy Ma Conceited.
Yes.
And just know that you're too good for shit.
Yeah, no, that song definitely will build you up. If
it's
you're
a vibe.
Feeling, yeah, it's definitely a vibe. But
and Remy Ma lived in our complex. We've told this story before.
So I do feel like she deserves the same amount of time.
I don't. I believe she deserves a penalty.
Well, how long would you give her then? 25 years, you think that's too long?
I think the 20 years is right. I think just having 25 to life where she could possibly never get out seems like a lot for just saying, hey, can you kill that dude for me and I'll have sex with you.
She would definitely hurt someone else again.
No.
Like, she is she a cold-hearted bitch.
She would not. She would try to manipulate someone to hurt someone for her.
Well, yeah.
And I think she's a piece of shit and she should rot. But when it comes down to it, I think the people that do the killing is way worse.
Okay. I mean, I see your point. I don't know. Now I'm on the fence. I'm curious what you guys think.
Well, sometimes...
Let us know in the comments.
When you're on the wall, you could fall off like Humpty Dumpty and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put you back together again.
I have no idea what you're talking about at this point. I don't even know how that's relevant.
Because you were on the fence. So I put. Oh. I made a wall.
I was like, where did
and then you fell off.
How did your brain even do that?
And I couldn't put you back together.
Okay. Anyway.
I was trying to get you on the other side of the fence.
Okay. Oh, God. And that.
Me and Glenn have the same IQ.
And that is the case of Bianca Edmonds. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, now she's over there. Orange is the new black and shit.
Maybe she'll get like a lover in jail. You know, like Orange is the New Black. She'll fall in love with one of her cellmates.
On TV, women's jail don't look too bad.
Well, that show made it seem not as bad at all.
Yeah, everyone's all like chilling. And...
Yeah.
No, but I watch, what's that other one? 30 Days In?
60 Days In. Oh, so good. You guys should watch it.
Yeah, it's a good show. But the women's jail really ain't that bad. There isn't that much aggression like men, because men, by nature, are a little more aggressive.
Yeah, true. The women's jail was still... I mean, it's still rough, though. Some of these girls were, like, ready to fight at any moment. But that's a really good show. You guys should watch it. 60 Days
It's kind of stupid. It's really good, but it's stupid. Like, what are you doing in here unless you're making a lot of money?
Yeah. They do get paid, though, I think, right?
All
right.
So, what would be your price to do 60 days in jail?
My price?
Like, if they said, all right, you got it. We'll put you on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And how much do we have to pay you to be in jail for 60 days on this show?
100 grand.
Oh, I'm way more.
Really? I would do it for 100 grand.
Not really. All right, so let's see.
Because this is the thing. On 60 days in...
I'm going to do some math.
Hold on. On 60 days in, you're not going to die. No
you
one's
can,
gonna shank
but you.
You.
Ain't.
No one's gonna. They listen. They have camera crews there. They think they're filming a documentary. Like, your identity is protected, but at the same time, no one's gonna come and kill you. You might get in a fight or something, and so you just have to pretty much make it through 60 days of missing your family. And I'd get paid 100 grand for 2 months. 100%, 50 grand a month.
I wouldn't. You know why?
Why?
Because I just did the math.
Uh huh.
It's only $69 an hour. For 2 months, because you're there 24 hours a day.
Yeah, but I would still do it.
Just $69 an hour.
I would do it.
Now, you got to give me like...
How much?
I think $250 would be my number. I need a quarter mil. And
for 2 months?
Yeah. And
you're greedy, bro.
Yeah, but I'm probably going to get into fights in there. I might get hurt.
Not everybody fights.
No, I'm
why do you think you're going to have to get in a fight? Not everyone fights in jail. You can be the calm, quiet guy.
What if someone tries to steal my fruit cup?
They might, but you have to...
You're going
to
eat your cornbread.
You have to de-escalate the situation.
Fuck around, you be in there. You might end up in the upper room.
If anyone has seen Life, that's where these jokes are coming from.
Back to back. I ain't trying to go to the upper room.
All right, everyone. Well, have a wonderful week. Wait,
how much would 250 be? So I think it's like 1,440 hours for 2 months. So if it was 250 divided by that, it's only like $175 an hour.
That's still a lot of money.
It is for like a real job. Yeah. But like if you're in jail.
That's a lot of money though. All right. Well, hopefully you guys had a wonderful week of love. And if you're single, just remember that Valentine's Day is bullshit anyway. And the holiday it originated from is very barbaric. So just think about that if you're feeling lonely this week.
Hey, folks, if you're feeling lonely, just go on Tinder. I don't know if it's swipe or tap. Do that. Find someone that's attractive and just Netflix and chill, folks. Everyone's on there for the same thing.
Have a wonderful week, guys. We will talk to you later. Bye.
Peace.